Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Has any group of people in world history been persecuted more than the Jews? Even thousands of years ago, in the ancient world-ruling empire of Persia, the king's chief advisor tried to exterminate all the Jews within the empire. This idea of a Holocaust or a genocide against the Jews really goes back to the 500s and 400s BCE, and even beyond that, really. It's just incredible how this same theme continues to pop up throughout history. That's what the biblical book of Esther is all about. This lovely young Jewish lady essentially won a beauty contest to become the queen of Persia, the wife of the Persian king Xerxes. And it really seems as though God had a reason for her becoming the king. This is from a Key of David program where Mr. Gerald Fleury talks about how Esther was used to continue God's plan. That's the title of the program, Esther, Used to Continue God's Plan. And Mr. Fleury says, what does the book of Esther in the Bible have to do with you? How does that relate to you? Well, it is about the extermination of the Jewish race. That was being attempted anciently many, many years ago, but it's also about a lot more than that that most people do not understand. It has everything to do with today and with you. It seems like radical Islam has the battle cry of putting the Jews to death, wiping them off the map. But they also talk about the same battle cry against the U.S., death to America. And they want to see America dead, even more than the little nation called Israel today. Mr. Fleury continues here. Queen Esther shows us how to deal with a problem like that. Now, it's no small problem. But few people understand that this is a message of tremendous hope in this world if you understand what Esther was all about. And believe me, it has everything to do with today. It has a lot more to do with our times today than it ever had anciently. Now that is a fact. It has hope. And it tells you how you can have hope in your life. It deals with individuals. If nations and the heads of nations don't respond, well, God still deals with individuals, as he did with Esther. It's a message that is most inspiring. And that's absolutely right. The biblical book of Esther is really a story that is, in a lot of ways, stranger than fiction. It's hard to believe that all of this actually played out in such a way. And yet you can know that your Bible is absolutely true. You can know that this historical account of Esther is accurate. But it's really just stunning history here. Esther was the queen of Persia, but more importantly, she was a Jew. She was there in Persia because Babylon had taken the Jews captive from 604 to 585 BCE. And then Persia conquered Babylon. So the Jews basically remained subjects to the Persians, even after Babylon fell. Esther was a Jew, and she was chosen out of many beautiful women to become the chief wife of King Xerxes. He also chose a lot of those other beautiful women to become his secondary wives, but the chief wife was Esther. And this was actually perfect timing, because King Xerxes' most trusted advisor, Haman, was about to attempt to destroy all the Jews. This is from the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary, where it talks about how Haman expected all the other servants in the king's court to bow to him with their faces to the ground. There was a Jew in the court named Mordecai, who also served the king. And he also had raised his cousin Esther, who now was the queen. Mordecai didn't think it was right to bow to the ground for any man, especially when it was basically a form of religious worship, almost acting like Haman was a god. So this is what it says here, Esther 3, verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. This is the whole reason why Haman started to hate the Jews so much. Mordecai was the last man standing, while everyone else prostrated themselves before Haman. This enraged the power-hungry Haman. He wanted God-level respect. It didn't take him long to think of his revenge plot. Haman realized that Mordecai was a Jew. His anger was not just toward Mordecai, but toward all Jews. And he persuaded the king to agree to an extermination date for all the Jews. You can see that here throughout Esther chapter 3. Haman acknowledges here that, yes, it is going to be expensive to lose so many of our Persian Empire subjects, but I will personally make up the lost revenue. Haman was willing to pay multiple millions of dollars by that translation of currency to account for the loss of that many people. Numerous thousands of Jews were going to disappear, but Haman would offset the cost by paying several thousand dollars to make up for it. That is how invested Haman was in wiping out the Jews. This is a pretty terrifying situation, made even more terrifying by the fact that under Persian law, any decree of the king marked by his royal signature on his ring could not be revoked. There was no way around it. Even if the king had a change of heart, his decree from before must still stand. Once King Xerxes agreed to wipe out the Jews, that was it. Xerxes didn't realize that his own wife, his own chief wife, Esther, the most beautiful woman he had ever seen, was actually a Jew as well. He didn't know this. Esther had not told him. It's kind of silly to think about how little Xerxes knew about his wife. He was just physically attracted to her, didn't even know who she was or where she came from. And so he just married her without knowing very much at all. Notice here, Esther chapter 3, verse 15. after Haman gets his way and it convinces the king to wipe out the Jews, they celebrate together. Esther 3, verse 15. The posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. The king and Haman celebrated while all the Jews mourned. Their families were about to be torn apart. Their lives were about to end. And their hearts were broken. They were perplexed. They were devastated by this decree. Mordecai realized the need for urgent action, and he understood that the Queen Esther could do something about the problem. Here's what Mordecai told his cousin, Esther the Queen. "For if you altogether hold your peace at this time," this is Esther 4, verse 14, "then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Mordecai had absolute faith that God would deliver the Jews, but he understood that Esther had a responsibility. She was in the perfect position to take action to protect her people. Mordecai warned her, "If you don't do the right thing, God will provide another way of escape for the Jews. But you will die, your family will die, we will be punished for not doing anything when we could have done something." Esther really was moved emotionally by this. Her response is here in Esther 4, verse 16. "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast you for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Thanks to Mordecai's urging, Esther was ready to die. As Mr. Fleury talks about in this Key of David program, Esther used to continue God's plan. Mordecai confronted Esther with a hard question. "Who knows if maybe God put you here as the queen of Persia to be a savior to the Jews?" Esther really must have been shocked by this, but she knew Mordecai was right. Notice how Mr. Fleury relates this history to each of us. "And God says today you can even be a more critical part of it in many ways. But individuals say, well, why would God want me? Why would God use me for something like this? That's usually the typical response that we all have. All of us are just that way. But God does work through individuals. He does work through people in different ways. And oh, what a majestic and marvelous reward he gives you if you respond to that call and to that being chosen, or let him choose you. You're going to receive a lot of glory the way Esther did. You're going to receive rewards beyond your own imagination." Every one of us has an opportunity to be called out of the world in this end time, to join God's one true church on this earth, the Philadelphia Church of God. The fact that you are listening to this, the fact that you are familiar with the PCG's message, means that God is calling you. But will you respond to that call? Will you do your part to support God's work and to fulfill his master plan here on earth today. Esther knew she had a job to do, and she called a nationwide 3-day fast where the people humbled themselves before God. They did their part to stir God to save them. They put all their trust in God. Now, this, as Mr. Fleury explains, this history had a huge impact on God's master plan. The Jews in 515 BCE had returned from the Babylonian captivity to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and to rebuild the city. Now, most of the Jews did not go back to Jerusalem, but about 50,000 of them did, out of the couple million or several million still left behind in Babylon. But that small remnant of the Jews returned to rebuild Jerusalem. Yet, notice what happened. Mr. Fleury says, but there was something that happened anciently where after they built the temple, the Jews didn't want to go ahead and build Jerusalem. The plan wasn't finished, but it broke down there. And that's where Esther comes in. And Esther was used by God to rejuvenate that plan and get more people back to Jerusalem, and especially some critical people to do the work of God and make sure that Jerusalem was built. And also a wall was built around it. Now, this is all a great vision of what is coming in the future. And that plan had broken down, and God used Esther to get it going again, to rejuvenate it so that he could work his plan and get his message out to this world, that wonderful hope that we all should be inspired by. You see, God wanted Jerusalem to be rebuilt, and God used Esther to get that plan moving again. Esther was used to bring life back to that plan. And so as a result of Esther taking action to save the Jews, more Jews ended up returning to Jerusalem. Jews like Ezra and Nehemiah. Notice here what it says of Ezra in Ezra 7, verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Eternal and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. The very fact that Ezra was alive to return to Jerusalem and reestablish God's law in the holy city was thanks to Esther and Mordecai doing their part. The very fact that Nehemiah was able to return to the city and rebuild the city wall to protect the city from enemies was thanks to Esther and Mordecai. God's plan moved forward thanks to Esther and Mordecai. Now, Mordecai really was in big trouble with Haman. Haman personally ensured that a 74-foot-high gallows was made, a 74-foot-high hanging apparatus for Mordecai to die on. And he was really ready to make sure that his archenemy Mordecai died. And yet, Haman himself was the one who ended up hanging from the gallows. The very same gallows that Haman built for Mordecai, the king hanged Haman on. And you can see that in Esther chapter 7. Esther called for a banquet with the king and Haman. And then she called for another banquet the very next night. And here Haman is thinking, wow, the queen must really respect me as well, because I'm having these personal banquets with the king and queen. Haman was bragging to his whole family how powerful he was, how influential and important he was. But then at this second banquet, Esther exposed Haman's planned genocide against her people. This is Esther chapter 7. Verse 4 says, "For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed and to be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." Basically, Esther is saying, the only reason I'm speaking out about this is because the Jews are about to die. We've already been in captivity. We deserve that for our national sins. If Haman just wanted to put us back into bondage, I wouldn't have even spoken up about that. God would have delivered us from that. And I could have been more patient about that. But here, this is urgent. We're all about to die. Esther begged for her life, for the lives of her people. And the king had a change of heart. Now remember, he couldn't reverse the decree for all the Jews to be killed on a specific day. However, he did issue a contradictory decree. Esther chapter 8 shows how the king made another decree to allow the Jews to defend themselves. And in the process of all this, 75,000 enemies of the Jews, probably mainly Amalekites like Haman, were killed. The Jews wiped out those who still tried to kill them. The intended victims became the victors. What an incredible turn of events. Haman was exalted, and then he was abased and put to death. The enemies of the Jews, the mostly probably Amalekites, were about to slaughter the Jews, and then they ended up being slaughtered instead. And that actually fulfills prophecies in the Bible regarding God's curses on the Amalekites. There's a couple different places in the Bible where God said the Amalekites would die. Exodus 17, verse 14 and 16. Deuteronomy 25, verse 19. The Amalekites were doomed. And these prophecies about the fall of the Amalekites were fulfilled when King Xerxes issued this decree to allow the Jews to defend themselves from destruction. Prophecy was moving forward. God's plan was advancing. What an incredible history. Mordecai ended up taking the place of Haman as the most trusted advisor to the king. All the Jews rejoiced and they celebrated a festival called Purim. Purim, which is kept by the Jews to this day. In fact, they usually keep it in late March. They just had it last week, where they do celebrate the salvation of their people from the wicked plot of Haman. But what an example that is for us when we are living our lives and trying to yield to God and trust his plan for us. We have to know that God has called us into positions to do his work, to prepare and train for the world tomorrow, for the kingdom of God. And no matter how insignificant we might feel, God has called us to do his work. And we must do it. and trusting God to work miracles like this. What a marvelous history contained for us in the biblical book of Esther. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.